As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? Welcome to our Thursday, February the 25th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. Especially joined as I am today, and I anticipate in the second hour, by founder of the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, San Francisco Bay architect Richard Gage, AIA. This is going to be an interview I hope you'll not want to miss. Do definitely stay with us for that. We'll pick that up in the second hour. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely not in the right place. You're definitely in the right place. I was going to say you're definitely not in the wrong place. That's a negative way of saying it. But you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game to be a part of today's broadcast. You can pick up the phone and call in now. I'm going to have to fire up my chainsaw-like tongue here. I'm watching as my computers load up lots of stuff. Anyway, back to the intro. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. That's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Once again, a big shout out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, and AM 1710 Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. That's really the ticket, isn't it? The listener calling number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. Your calls are welcome. That information, the contact information, the show archives, and so much more available at the oraclebroadcasting.com home webpage. Today, precious metals, the equities, and the commodities are all falling in the wake of a low consumer confidence and other information coming out of all of the prognosticators. We'll give you a market report in a moment. We're going to go back into in the first hour and look at cosmogony. We began that before, the origins of the universe, or as Carolyn Harris likes to say, the multiverse, quantum theory, a little bit more about that. All of this in the roll-up, if you will, in the lead-up to bringing on Richard Gage, AIA. I'm really looking forward to this. I was an early signer, petition signer on that, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And when I was signing into it, I really, really did believe that if we could just get the architects and the engineers and the building sector in general, the design and development sector in general, behind this kind of a petition, we might be able to do something. But anyway, they've had a lot of success adding more people, and we'll talk about all of that in the second hour. Of course, we'll take your calls throughout this first hour and the second hour as well. Let's go to that market report for Thursday, February the 25th, 2010. Out of New York City, as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we find gold trading down $3.50 to two-week low at $1,093.70 an ounce, and silver off 16 cents at $15.81 an ounce. Platinum moves up $6 at $1,514 an ounce, and palladium off $3 at $418. We'll pick it all up right there on the other side of this first break. Much more to come today. Stay with us for the full 2 hours.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. It can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-Panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offenses against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, February the 25th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. We're going to be a little bit light on news today, just simply because I've got some other material I want to get into and cover. And then I'm going to open the doorway up, if you will, towards the top of the hour to bring on Richard Gage for the full second hour. But anyway, let's go into this market report and put it behind us for today. Lots of financial news out there again, but it's so much like a regurgitorium. They're just basically, I don't know whether it's just blabbering, pounding their lips, or just quite what. But there are things happening that are behind the scenes that I'm quite confident that we're not getting the full meal deal here. So anyway, I don't want to consume a lot of time reading info news. I think we'll be better served by looking at a little bit of history. But again, out of New York City, real stuff, active trading, New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, we find gold down $3.50, so we're trading below the $1,100 mark. So be very careful. If you are invested in gold, watch this number because it is in within the range now, striking range, of going back below the 1,000. I don't know whether it will or not, but we're at about a two-week low right now, and it may be going the other way because we see the U.S. dollar index increasing and gold decreasing, which is a return, if you will, a recoupling of a relationship that has been absent for almost 8 or 9 months in my research. But anyway, the gold was off $3.50, trades at $1,093.70 an ounce. Silver lost 16 cents, trading at $15.81 an ounce. Platinum was up 6 at 1,514, and palladium off 3 at $418 an ounce. Now, the lows and the highs in the gold spot market are $1,088.10 for a low and $1,097.10 for a high. You're looking at just about a $10 spread in there. But at $1,093.70, your gold is still up $131 annually from year to year for a 13.61% return on your investment, all things being considered. Where it's going to go, we'll have to see. You know, we're coming into the Purim. You know, always keep your eyes on Esther. This weekend we're going to go into Purim, and this is a time of trouble in the world for sure. Whenever they celebrate Purim, somebody dies, it seems. But anyway, the London Gold Fix this morning, the boys in London set the price at $1,092.75. We're a buck above that as of 9 o'clock a.m. The SPDR Gold Trust, the ETFs, are standing at, still unchanged at 1,106.99 tons in their holdings, supposedly, and calculated at a $1,093.70 spot. That would be $39.24 billion that they have to play with in this market. And I just bring it to your attention, dial it in, understand that that's a whole gob and a bunch. I'm not seeing any involvement. Their holdings don't seem to be changing, but the numbers are switching around. There's lots of low volatility, short moves, up and down in the market, pretty tight trading ranges, but nevertheless, with a spider this big sitting on the corner of the web for exchange-traded funds, you know, they could wreak havoc in a moment. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up yesterday 92 at 10,374. The Nasdaq was up 22 at 2236. The S&P was up 11 at 1,105. So we can see a little bit downward pressure on the metals, a little uptrend in the Dow, and of course we'll see that into the U.S. dollar index as well. The Intercontinental Exchange Inc.'s product trade moves up 26 basis points, trades at 81.03. The crude oil this morning off $1.15, trading at 78.85. In the foreign exchange rates, as a result of this upward move in the USDX, causes a little bit of mayhem. All of our basket of currency, they're all down. The Canadian loonie loses 93 basis points, trades at 94 cents U.S. The Mexican peso off 35 at 8 cents U.S. The euro down 47 basis points for $1.35 U.S. The British pound, the biggest one, moved today, off 0.88%, trades at $1.53, and that Swiss franc is off 0.43% or 43 basis points, trades at 92 cents U.S. in the bond market. The two-year, I generally only give you the yields, but I'll give you the prices today. The two-year bonds are running at $100.09, and they're yielding 0.83% return on your investment there. The 10-year is at 99.84. It offers a 3.64 yield, and the 30-year, the interest rate is 4.59. In the mortgage markets, the 15-year moves down from 4.66 a month ago to 4.50, and the 30-year moves down from 5.14, just a tiny bit, to 5.12. Well, that's the market report for today. Anybody and everybody has heard about the snow hurricane approaching New York and Pennsylvania. They're expecting 12 inches of snow over there. I don't know why they call it a snow hurricane. It's a blizzard. But they say you may hear it called a snow hurricane because blizzard may not even do it justice, said Alex Sosnowski. I guess a snow ski, Sosnowski, Alex, oh my, I wonder if they had to pay him to be in this article, Alex Sosnowski, they're talking about 12 inches of snow, Sosnowski, why not, makes sense, right, even if you are from Poland. An expert senior meteorologist with AccuWeather Inc. in State College, Pennsylvania, quote, it's like getting a decade's worth of storms all in one season. You hear that, Al? You hear that, Mr. Gore? George Soros, very strong. It's like we're getting a decade's worth of storms all in one season. And, of course, it's not getting warmer. It's getting colder. Well, there's all of that. And we should expect it. When we study cosmogony, we study We started this lengthy article on a previous broadcast. But the term cosmogony is the term generally used to cover the theories or the speculations concerning the origin and the development of the various bodies or groups of bodies found in space. Cosmogony. The cosmos. Cosmogony. So it's a study. It's something that you could browse up, you could Google it, Scroogle it, Dogpile it, or Webferret it, put it into your browser, go to the public library, check out books and read, study something about it. You know, the Bible starts off, Bereshis Barael, well, it starts off in English, in the beginning, God. In the beginning of what? Well, in the beginning of creation, obviously. And that's what cosmogony is all about. It's speculation, it's theory. As to just how did the universe or the multiverse, what was its origin? How did it form? And some of what we're hearing now from James McKenney and others, John Moore and others, in regards to Planet X and 2012 and all of that, has to do with this. And we brought it out and revealed that Planet X is nothing new. This is a theory that has been used, named, postulated for 110 years. You go back to Laplace or the Laplacian hypothesis and so on. Let's go into this a little bit more. Since the days, again, of Sir Isaac Newton, when at least some of the physical laws have become known, these hypotheses represent scientific attempts to explain the evolution of the... Here comes that break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. enginebrain.com. enginebrain.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so, repeating and reiterating where I got left or cut off as we went into the break there, since the days of Sir Isaac Newton, and that was 1642 to 1727, when at least some of the physical laws have become known, or should be said, they should say had become known, these hypotheses represent scientific attempts to explain the origin and the evolutionary processes of the universe in accord with these natural laws. In other words, you got the little g god men, the scientists, and they are looking at creation as part of creation, and then they presume to be able to have the intellect to be able to unlock the mystery of how the universe came into existence. Pretty lofty challenge, rather big goal there, that's for sure, but there's a certain amount of hubris in there, a certain amount of ignorance and arrogance. Such things we may never know, but we could postulate about until the cows come home. Makes for a really good discussion around the wood stove on a cold winter afternoon. And why do we bring it up? Why do we even talk about it? Well, because there are lots of people who seem to be, ostensibly, in the roll-up to 2012 and this time period, taking remedial action, taking precautionary, exercising the precautionary principle, just in case something happens. Just in case some of these early theories have any credence. So we'll find out a little bit more about these early credence. In the previous broadcast, we talked about the nebular hypothesis, the revival of the heliocentric theory of Copernicus. Copernicus, as you know, was the 1473 to 1543. I'm referring to the Encyclopedia Americana, 1951, although this article was written probably not later than 1943. So we've had a lot of science and technological advancements in computing and brain power that have been able to go far beyond where we were at this time when this was written, but it gives us a good starting point. It's going to name a few names. Again, the revival of this heliocentric theory, nebular hypothesis, heliocentric theory by Copernicus, followed by application of the telescope to astronomy by Galileo, 1564 to 1642, see, we've just embraced this time period where we discovered America, 1492, when Cristobal Colum, using his brother Bartholomew's maps, charts, and equipment, sailed and found Cuba, basically. Anyway. It's pretty much a no-brainer now that we know the other side of the earth, but it's pretty much a no-brainer that if you just sail west, my friend, you're going to hit something, and they did, and they boinked off one of the islands down there. Anyway, once this had appeared, and it was inferred that gravitation acted throughout all space, the foundation for scientific progress in cosmogony was possible. Why do we even bring this out? We're going to be talking a little bit about gravitation today in the second hour with our guest, Richard Gage, if all things go according to plan. We're going to be taking a look at gravitation. Of course, he has the theory that they advance with AE 911 truth. There's other information out there. Some of you have looked into the work of, I think it's Judy Wood, the Hutchison effect as well. There are things in this universe we don't quite have a handle on yet. Some people have. If you look at the technology that's coming on us and at us in the aerospace industry and in the weaponry industry, they may be tapped into some of this real early science. The stuff that Hutchison figured out is levitation processes and metallic disintegrations and those sorts of things. Of course, if you go back and look, as I did, in the patents, the complete book of patents of Nikola Tesla, you'll also find that one of his patents was for a metal disintegrator. It was just a small device he could carry in his pocket, and he could ostensibly disintegrate steel with it. Wonder if there's any of that going on at 9/11 as well. But let's go into this a little bit further. Under some form, a nebular hypothesis was outlined by Emanuel Swedenborg, by Thomas Wright in 1711 to 1786, and by Immanuel Kant in 1724 to 8, who lived from 1724 to 1804. Immanuel Kant's an important person there. Dial into things. He has profound capacity and was also a philosopher. He influenced the thinking of George Friedrich Hegel. And Hegel, of course, was the master, if you will, of Feuerbach, Feuerbach being his disciple, an insurgent. He deviated from Hegel's teaching. Of course, Feuerbach was one of the influences on Martin Buber. And Martin Buber, of course, taught at the university in Jerusalem and got Amitai Etzioni off to a start, which he then continued in the United States, and now we see some of this blowback known as communitarian law and all that. That's another angle. But anyway, meantime, the observations of Sir William Herschel, 1738 to 1822, had given a far better basis for speculations about nebula, so that when Pierre-Simon Laplace, 1749 to 1827, outlined in 1796. 1796, folks, 20 years after the Declaration was signed. What is now known as the nebular hypothesis, he was on a far safer ground than any of his predecessors. Also, he had the advantage of a long study of the mechanics of the solar system and a great and deserved reputation as a scientist. His hypothesis is much like Kant's, but it is believed that Laplace did not know of this earlier work. And sometimes that happens. Someone will be proceeding along a course of inquiry and coming up with solid research and good science, only to discover that somebody else had covered that ground before him. When that happens in my life, I like to think of it as second witnesses, third witnesses, that I'm actually doing good research and that others have been there before me and agree. But continuing here, it talks a little bit about how the universe was created, and we covered that pretty thoroughly on planetismal hypotheses. But let me just drop down a bit here. Meantime, the special case of the Earth-Moon system had received attention, especially through the work of Sir George Howard Darwin, relative, you know, George Howard Darwin. From 1878 to 1882, this system is the only one known where the satellite has so large a relative mass, namely about 1 to 81, that of its primary. We're going to talk a little bit of, there'll be a little mathematics in this stuff, very little really. Just get an idea that what we're trying to do is to figure out how these various bodies in space interact with each other from an electrical standpoint. From an electrical standpoint. I don't see what I'm doing, what I should be doing over there, but it looks like everything's still on, so we'll just presume that we're on air and continue. Anyway, continuing, there's this relationship then between bodies in the heavens, if you will. Their mass has something to do with the relationship. Proximity has to do with the relationship. And it was out of all of this study that they started coming up with various and sundry formula, which we might find in the process of committing to 9/11. All of this.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with a look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
All right, so we've returned once again. We're looking at this idea, cosmogony, the planetesimal hypothesis. How did all the little stars out there come into existence? How did they happen? These scientists believe that they've got the idea. And so we'll just follow along with some of their hypotheses and see whether they're getting onto the God principle or not. The form of the hypothesis is given today is as follows. Again, this is probably the 1940s. And this is the planetesimal hypothesis. The form of the hypothesis is given today is as follows. At some time in the remote past, two stars, one of which was the sun, and the other we will call X. So if you want to know where planet X comes from, it goes back into the writings, I believe, of Sir James Jeans, Harold Jeffries, and others. And so this idea of planet X, or the 10th planet, or just X, two stars, star X, goes back a long ways. It's not something that has come up recently. Of course, modern science looks at it and they adopt what was before. They were building upon the past. But a lot of people talk about Planet X as if it's something new, that we just, a new word we just coined. It's not. So again, and the other we will call X, approached one another, moving in orbits which were certainly hyperbolic. Just how close their passage was is uncertain, but from 5 to 10 solar radii may be about correct. it might also be remembered that the time the bodies spent near together was very brief indeed. Each body produced tides upon the other, which grew to greater heights the nearer the bodies came. Now, of course, when you're producing tides upon the other body, we're not talking about the tide of the sea. We're talking about bulges on the planet. Tides in the surface matter, material, gases, otherwise. Gases, liquids, solids, otherwise. Tides, which could have mountain-building effects, if you understand what I'm talking about. The Himalayas getting crunched up, scrunched up, and other things. Lots been written about it. Just how close their passage was is uncertain, but again, from 5 to 10 solar radii, so you could look at the diameter of the sun, and then push the numbers out 5 to 10 times that, and get an idea for the distance, how close they could be to each other. Dropping down further, it should be noted that presumably everything that happened to the sun also happened to X, because there's a relationship between them mathematically and gravitationally and all the rest of the things going on there. So it's not just one planet goes by and everybody on the planet is laughing and slapping their thighs and seeing all the trouble that their planet X, the dark star, whatever you want to call it, is causing on the planet Earth. No, whatever would be happening on the planet Earth is likely to be happening on planet X. It's a bad deal for both bodies in space. This apparent fact is ignored in most discussions of the subject. And finally, when the two bodies were nearest, the tidal strain plus whatever internal forces of expansion were present was great enough to tear off bodily the upper parts of the two tidal bulges and throw these masses of hot gases out into space. The hypothesis, however, was not limited to a single ejection. More probably, there were several, but for the continued gravitational attraction of X, all the ejected material, which had less than parabolic velocity, would eventually have fallen back into the sun. However, as X was moving in the counterclockwise direction, all such material was given a strong component in the direction X was going, and would therefore and thereafter revolve about the sun in orbits with its center as a focus. So this is how things started to spin roundabout. It was because, like the billiard balls, if you will, when you are shooting billiards or a pool, it's the spin, the English that you put on the cue ball at the moment that you impact it with the cue, that reverses when the cue ball strikes the object ball. There's a lot of dynamics involved in that. If you've ever played pool, you understand what I'm talking about. Continuing, once the two stars had separated, the region around the sun would be filled with debris from the encounter, torn not only from it, but mingled with what had come from X. So there would be a little bit of X, and there would be a little bit of sun. You know, all these planets. Whatever was in X, Krypton or otherwise, may be found on Earth. This would be mostly in the plane defined by the sun's center and containing the orbit of X. Well, let's drop down a little bit further. I think we all get the idea. The tidal hypothesis, not the same as the planetesimal hypothesis, the tidal hypothesis developed by Sir James H. Jeans and Harold Jeffries appeared first in 1918 and essentially seems a mere corollary of the planetesimal hypothesis. In this, star X is supposed to have drawn from the sun a cigar-shaped filament, densest near the middle part. This gradually cooled, liquefied, and condensing into nuclei formed the planets. The major planets would be from the middle, densest portion. This passing of star X is again responsible for the direction and the plane of motion. As before, Jeffries afterwards substituted the hypothesis that X actually had a grazing collision with the sun, so it caromed off the sun. Wang, bingo, bango. controversial points? Well, the greatest stumbling block, as criticism has shown, is that such an encounter, as postulated in the two preceding theories, gives, under the most favorable circumstances, only one-tenth the angular momentum we now find possessed by the planets. And this was pointed out by Henry Norris Russell, who then suggested that the Sun may originally have been one component of a double star, and that this companion was struck by X, double stars. Brown dwarf? Well, it's not going to be a brown dwarf. We'll find out about that in a moment. Believes the companion was sent, okay, and that this comparison, or that this companion was struck by X, and the planets found from its debris. Raymond Arthur Littleton, using the double star idea, believes the companion was sent off into space as one result of the encounter, but its existence would give the reduced momentum to the planets formed from the multiple catastrophe. So if the double star, Planet X, was sent off into space after the catastrophe, it would then come back, perhaps, in a long orbit, in elliptical orbit, perhaps, that would come back and back and around and back, come in, go around the sun, go back out, come in, go around the sun. If it was knocked out, it would still have some gravitational attraction to the sun, being the nearest thing as big as the sun around it, and it would come back. And some people postulate that it does that about once every 3,600 years. It comes back. So a lot of what we're hearing about, you know, today, about Planet X and all of that, it has all of its roots right here in the research that's being discussed under cosmogony in an encyclopedia, if you care to read about it. Dropping down, it says, if this proof by Spitzer turns out to be correct, and also the hypothesis is true that there are no laws of nature as yet unknown to us which would modify the course of events, it would seem that the various collisional theories are disproved if bodies of stellar type are only involved. But what's really important here is understanding this concept. Absolutely critical that if the hot hypothesis is true, let's see what we've got going here now. Let's see, we've got everything going here. We're still supposed to be running good. Let's see if we can go up here, click that. There we go. Seems to be all working. Good. Still on. Looks like it. Good. Anyway, it's this presumption that there are no laws of nature as yet unknown to us which would modify the course of the events. And that brings in and opens up that whole discussion of just what was this fellow named Hutchison. You can browse it up for yourself on YouTube and other places. Judy Wood's website's got it, I believe, if I have her name correct, on the Hutchison effect. What do we know about quantum theory, and what don't we know about it? What can we infer from the things that Max Planck and the other guys came up with long ago? Not a lot, for me. Maybe some of our listeners out there have done advanced education in this, but quantum theory is the theory devised to account for a series of experimental results that have been obtained in the study of atomic and electron physics. Well, about out of time on this break. We will be right back after these from our sponsor.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
See the reality behind the illusions. Join us on the Iconoclast Report, Saturdays, 12 to 4 p.m., shattering paradigms, one show at a time.
And so we have returned once again, going to cover quantum theory as briefly as we possibly can in the next 5 or 6 minutes. And then towards the end of this segment, I'll have to, on air, add in our caller to this conference call. I'd hoped to have him on for the 2 hours, but we were only able to get him for the second. I'm thankful for that. But it is going to take a little bit of a juggling act to make it work properly, and hopefully it will work properly. But there's something that is involved in all of this stuff. of quantum theory that I find rather interesting and pertinent to our topic today of what really did happen at 9/11 and what can we do to get the investigations opened up properly, bring forth indictments and proceed intelligently in the future. But anyway, we generally avoid that topic, but we're going to cover it today. Discrete energy levels, experiments by Frank and Hertz, the truth hurts, Giuliani's broadcast, Frank and Hertz in 1914, and later by many others, showed that when electrons collide with atoms, only certain discrete amounts of energy can be transferred to the internal motions of the atoms. If a beam of very slow electrons is shot into a monatomic gas, only elastic collisions take place. If the electron velocity is increased, inelastic collisions, excuse me, this is difficult to read. If the electron velocity is increased, inelastic collisions in which a large amount of energy is absorbed by the atoms begin at a definite minimum electron energy. From such experiments, there arises the idea of a spectrum of atomic energy levels. There seems to be only certain permitting types of motion of the electrons constituting the atoms. And this is quite foreign to ordinary mechanics, according to which a mechanical system can have any energy that is given to it. Now, the observed line spectra of the atoms are explained in terms of these atomic energy levels when an atom is in one of the permitted states. It does not radiate. even though the electromagnetic theory would require radiation from such moving electrons. However, if the atom is not in its state of lowest energy, it may jump to a lower state and emit the difference in energy as a quantum of radiation. And this leads to the equation, and I'm not going to give it to you. But this is very interesting in that as these phenomena occur at a subatomic level, when you're down into the electrons area, and we've only given them things like that, names like that, that goes harkens all the way back to Aristotle, for goodness sakes, but we assign these names. We have the atomic principle. We name everything from our pets and our children to everything we see around us. And then we start to infer from things that we have come up with out of experimentation some of these laws and natural laws. But there comes a point in here where the energy of the atoms and the electrons and all that, where they just simply leap out of the existing material. They leap out. They get to a point where they're no longer containable and they just jump out. It's like having all of a sudden one of your ribs just to get to a point where it just has to jump out of your chest and it just jumps out. You know, it goes back to some of these science fiction movies, horrible things. And this is what actually happens down there in the subatomic level. And if you can start to wrap your mind around some of what may have happened in New York, was a demonstration project, much like Katrina was used as a demonstration project. You can think of it as Hiroshima, Nagasaki, the firebombing of Dresden or Nuremberg, even a demonstration project such as the Lusitania, to obtain public buy-in and consensus in the international community that as we move forward into the 21st century, the old things are going to give way to the new things. Flying over and dropping bombs will be of limited effect. Great economic boon, great stimulus project, makes for lots of work. But there's other technologies available that are far more to be feared than a bomb just dropping out of the sky. New things on the horizon. No capital building being safe anywhere, that sort of stuff. If you can actually dustify concrete, if from the outside you can just melt and disfigure and disform and explode steel from within by using frequencies, the death ray out of the Battlestar Galactica or something, it changes the whole paradigm. And it may be why the door was closed and will remain closed. But certainly, as we go into the next hour, and I do hope that I'll be able to successfully add Richard Gage to our conversation, as more of the architects and engineers come forward, and that is a huge leap of faith. Remember, they're licensed by the state. They serve at the pleasure of the state. They're also involved in largely the bigger companies, the bigger firms, the men with greater reputation and a greater client list. They're involved with government contracts, schools and hospitals and military bases and those sorts of things. This Rob Rees coming up with the new building in London, the new embassy in London. People like that who know which side of the bread they butter are dependent upon a working relationship with states so that they continue to design. And engineering companies are dependent upon states so that they can continue to provide design engineering for dams and dikes and roads and those sorts of things. They have a little bit more at stake than I would if I just put on a black t-shirt and picked up a bullhorn and a placard in that matrix. And so as we hear about more and more of those men and women across America and around the world who are finally willing to step forward and say, I don't like the story. It doesn't stand up to any of the things that we know in our profession to be true. It has a little bit more weight. And for that reason, largely, I bring on Richard Gage with us. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to look at what is now happening globally as some of the smaller or the developing countries are looking at this story, and then they look at Iraq and Afghanistan, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the various pressures of the agencies attempting to obtain their public buy-in and their voluntary compliance. And things get a little bit more complicated. And certainly, from a professional standpoint, understanding the law and being large corporations, oftentimes themselves, architects and engineers, understand contract law. They also understand the liabilities. They understand what it means when we talk about bonding, licensing, and insuring. They underwrite with their stamp the integrity of designs that they've designed, buildings they've designed, projects that they've designed, and they carry that liability with them through their lives. Once you affix your stamp and your seal and your signature to something, it's your design until you die and thereafter. And so hopefully this will work out, we'll be able to make this connection, and begin to find out a little bit about where their organization, the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, are today, and what we can learn about them and perhaps lend our support as we might prove or push or pursue indictments far long overdue. So with all of that, we're going to go into this break. I'm going to connect with our guest, and hopefully everything will go swimmingly, and we'll come back and begin our second hour. Let's see if we can get this to go down just the way it's supposed to go. Bear with me, folks.
You owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
When you have finished recording, press pound. To cancel, press star.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, February the 25th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. I'm still in the process here of trying to make this connection. It seems that he must have stepped away from the telephone. I'm going to try him on his cell phone. So, folks, just bear with us. We're just going to pedal along here. You can hear some of the work that I'm doing in the background as we try and bring up our caller here. Let's see if we can get this right. Let's see. I'm going to have to go back out over that. We'll do that. And let's do this way. One, two, three. Just bear with me. A little live production happening here in the background. Prefer to get this accomplished before the broadcast starts, but it's not always possible, so let's go over there. Now let's go down here and pick that up right there. And let's see if we get a call this way.
Hello?
Richard Gage.
Hi.
Good morning. This is William Roberts with Oracle Broadcasting Network, Become Vocal Local. We're all set up to go. We're live on air. So let me...
You're calling me on my cell phone, William. Do you want to call me on the landline?
I did try that, and I got the answering machine. Would you like me to call back now?
Yeah, it's... sorry about that. It's 9...
You're going out over the air. I think I have the number. Let me try it again.
All right.
It should be ringing now. Coming up.
Hello?
There you are. Very good. Okay, now we'll hang this one up. And this is all self-produced talk radio, folks, and this is the way that we did it. Did want to take care of it in this first segment while most of our affiliates are away at their top of the hour news break. But we're joined this morning by San Francisco Bay architect Richard Gage, AIA, the member of the American Institute of Architects and the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Good morning, Richard. Thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. It's great to be here with you.
Well, you know, for me, it really is a long time coming. When I first signed up to be on the petition, I think it was sometime in early 2008. Let me just scroll down and see if I can actually find that, get the date on that idea. Yeah, here it is. On the 4/25/2008, I was really hoping that we would be able to energize the professional community, the architects, the engineers, the land surveyors, all of the contractors, the building professionals, development people, and lenders, energize them behind this idea of examining the information that came out of the NIST report, examine all of the information that they'd heard in the media, and take a stronger look. I don't know about the others out there, Richard, and I've had a considerable amount of architectural engineering, geotechnical engineering, land surveying, and construction experience. But when I saw that and heard it going down on September the 11th, I sensed that there was something that was just not being told, that nothing of it sounded right. And when I heard about the collapse of Building Number 7, from that time forward, I've been completely convinced that we've been fed a hogwash story, but you're making some very good progress right now. We've got only about a minute, and I will want to start over again in the second segment when all of our audience has joined us. But just tell us a little bit about who is Richard Gage, as you like to, and then we'll go into a break and we'll come back again in the next segment.
Sure. I'm an architect of 20 years and have been working on large projects for quite a while, and I learned about, as you mentioned, Building 7 about 4 years ago on the radio when I heard David Ray Griffin discussing this additional evidence that we have not seen in the mainstream media. Most architects and engineers know nothing about the third worst structural failure in modern history.
And with that, we'll have to interrupt you right there, folks. We're going to go into a break. We're going to come back with all the horses running, and we'll pick it up in 3 minutes. Stay right there on the line, Richard. We'll get this officially started right after these words from our sponsor.
You heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle. Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, February the 25th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. And in the beginning, the first hour, we talked a little bit about cosmogony, just how does how did all the universe, the multiverse, get started? And we talked a little bit about quantum theory and some of the implications that has as well. And in this hour, it's my great privilege and my great pleasure to once for the first time have the opportunity to speak to a gentleman I've been waiting to speak to for a long time. But we're going to be joined here in the second hour by Richard Gage. He's a member of the American Institute of Architects. He's a San Francisco Bay Area architect and a member of the American Institute of Architects, a founding member of the AE 9/11 Truth, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and he's been a practicing architect for over 20 years, has worked on most types of building construction, including numerous fireproof steel-framed buildings. Most recently, he's worked on the construction documents of a $40 million mixed-use urban project with 1.2 million square feet of retail parking structure and 320,000 square feet of mid-rise office space, altogether with about 1,200 tons of steel framing. Mr. Gage became interested in researching the destruction of the World Trade Center high-rises after hearing the startling conclusions of a reluctant 9/11 researcher, David Ray Griffin. Many of you know who David Ray Griffin is, on the radio in 2006, which launched his own unyielding quest for the truth about 9/11. Welcome back to the airwaves, Richard, and thank you for joining me this morning.
Thanks, William. It's awesome to be here with you.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'd like to start out, if you would. We've got a recent success. We've got now over 1,000 professional architects and engineers as signers to your petition, plus many, many, many others. Maybe you could give us a little bit about that and why you feel it's so important.
Well, we have this 25,000 years of professional technical experience aligned toward looking at the destruction of the three World Trade Center high-rises on 9/11. Many people don't know anything about the third worst structural failure to occur, and it happened on 9/11 as well. So these 1,000 are looking at Building 7 primarily because it is so obviously an example of an explosive controlled demolition. This is the third skyscraper on 9/11 to fall at nearly free fall acceleration, at straight down, smoothly, symmetrically. It was not hit by an airplane, and yet this building falls in the first 100 feet as fast as a brick falling off the top of the building. This can only be done if the columns are removed. That can only be done explosively. And within a tenth of a second of each other on each of the core columns, 24 in this case. So we have the evidence of an explosive controlled demolition merely in the behavior of the building. So every architect and engineer that we show this information to agrees with us. Hey, of course, that's a controlled demolition. Everybody else does, too. It's very intuitive. So this is why our numbers keep growing. This is why we're demanding a new investigation of NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Not just an investigation of the building, but the investigation of the cover-up in these fraudulent and unscientific reports that have been put out by Shyam Sunder and John Gross and those other individuals at NIST that we're calling for a federal grand jury investigation of. It is really important that we get at the truth of why these buildings, all three of them, the true nature of their destruction has been covered up. We find not only that problems with the official report, which are numerous, which, by the way, blame normal office fires for the symmetrical freefall destruction of this building, a complete non sequitur. These office fires were fairly small and fairly scattered, about 8 to 10 of them throughout the building, and they were out in the area of the initiation of collapse. At the time of the collapse of this building, they were out for an hour and a half. And FEMA, who did the first analysis, really a building report of Building 7, could not even conclude what was the cause of this building's failure. What they did conclude is that the steel samples that they analyzed had evidence of melting, intergranular melting, rapid oxidation, sulfidation. This does not happen in office fires. Steel does not melt. It takes well over 3,000 degrees to get steel to melt like this. And yet these office fires are only at their very hottest, 1,400 to 1,600 degrees, half the temperature required to melt steel. So where did all this molten steel and molten iron, of which the first responders and structural engineers found several tons of in the base of this building after its collapse? Well, the molten iron and even these steel samples have evidence of sulfur in it, aluminum, and manganese. This is a characteristic signature of thermite, an incendiary used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. This is damning evidence for the explosive destruction of this building, and it matches and supports the hypothesis of explosive demolition found in the supporting the behavior of the building as well.
So going back then and looking at what the recent outreach you've made then on the morning of February 19, 2010, this year, folks, just a few days ago, the press conference, this is how I came to know about what was going down, the press conference that you held in the city of San Francisco, you had the opportunity to bring out this to the media once again, but you weren't just alone on that day. All across, where? All around the United States and around the world, there were other similar press conferences going. How did that whole process go down, and what kind of success do you think you've had from that?
Well, we had 47 press conferences around the world concurrently from the 14,000 supporters that we have here at AE 911 Truth. And there was media at several of them. In fact, Victoria, British Columbia, we had a great mainstream Channel 2 evening news coverage. We also had coverage in the Washington Post, the Washington Times, as well as some other local TV, and Russia Today in New York picked it up as well. There's been a lot of buzz about this, because we are not only calling for a federal grand jury investigation of NIST, the author of these reports, but we've also delivered on the same day to every Congress member the names of every one of our 1,000 architect and engineer petition signers.
We'll be right back with that right after this message from our sponsors, folks. Stay with us. We will be back in 3 minutes with Richard Gage, AIA.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known, with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And once again, we're visiting with Richard Gage this morning, the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And folks, when Richard tells us we've got over 1,000 signers on this petition, which represents in excess of 25,000 years of practical experience, it's not a joke. I spent over 25 years nearly myself in design and construction engineering design, geotechnical engineering, architectural design, construction layout, construction supervision, office management, computer graphics, and the whole works. And so when you put this many eyeballs with this much experience behind a petition, you have a lobby group to be reckoned with, and there's no doubt about that. Now, certainly, and you can confirm this, Richard, you've got architects, probably civil engineers, mechanical engineers, structural engineers, electrical engineers, surveyors, geologists, geotechnical, construction specialists. You've got a lot of people on the list. What has been the general response in the petitions? I remember when I signed in, I had an opportunity to place a comment in there. What's been the overall response, and certainly lately, as people see this evidence for perhaps really with another set of glasses for the first time, what's been the response from all of these professionals?
Well, everywhere we go, and I go into architecture and engineering offices here in the Bay Area and around the world, we take a show of hands before and after. How many believe the official story? Most of them do, just like I did 4 years ago before I became aware of this information on the radio while I was on my way to a construction observation meeting. But after we present the information, we find that 85 to 95% of the architects, engineers, and others end up agreeing with us that, my God, of course, these are explosive demolitions. I didn't know about this information, and here's the building going down. So obviously it went down. Obviously it's a controlled demolition. So the response is, why didn't I know about this? Why didn't the media, my government, tell me about Building 7? Why didn't I see the Twin Towers when they were coming down for what they were? I mean, we were told that the Twin Towers, for instance, were a gravitational collapse, a pancaking collapse all the way down to the ground. Well, if that were true, we would have all seen at the base of the pile of each of these Twin Towers a series of 110 floors in some mangled heap at the bottom. But guess how many we see? Not one. They have all been systematically pulverized, 90,000 tons of concrete, pulverized to a fine powder and spread throughout lower Manhattan. The perimeter wall units, 9-ton units, were expelled laterally at 60 to 70 miles per hour, instant lateral acceleration, their speed, landing 600 feet away from the Twin Towers. This takes an extraordinary force, and that explosive force it was evidenced by the witnesses, over 100 of the 500 recorded first responders who said there were sounds of explosions, flashes of light, like a belt going all the way around the building, pop, pop, pop. And this is accompanied with ejections of this pulverized concrete symmetrically around the building. They also, in all the videos and photos, we also notice isolated explosive ejections of pulverized building materials occurring 20, 40, and even 60 stories down below the collapsing building. We're told that, well, these are puffs of air being produced by that, by the air coming down the elevator shaft. But these are not puffs of air. They're pulverized building materials, and they're occurring at 160 to 200 feet per second in these engineered patterns that are indicative of precisely placed explosives more than some random air coming out of the building.
And you have,
would blow out many windows, but not just one or two.
And you have all of this on DVDs. And, folks, the website, if you want to visit it this morning, it's www.ae911truth.org. www.ae911truth.org. You know, one of the things, and I hope to be able to spend a little bit of time on this if you're comfortable talking about it, but one of the things that I really want to look at, it was a question that I posted when I signed up for the petition, but there's a new rule set that's been established here. There's a new legal precedent in my mind, Richard, and that is that when you do a demolition, for whatever reason, even if there had been a fire or any other cause on that site at that time, by any source for any, with any outcome, there is a process that we need to go through that you and I have both had to go through 1,000 times probably, but it begins with something really simple like a SEPA checklist, a determination of non-significance, before you could even consider demolishing a building, even if it's a fire damaged hulk. You would have to go through this simple process. First, you file this SEPA checklist. Then you'd go through, if you get a determination of significance, then you have to file the environmental impact statement. You're proceeding towards the obtaining of a demolition permit, but you would have to have that demolition permit. And part of that, then, we would go off into a safety plan, which would be the protection of the pedestrians, vehicles or traffic, protection of adjoining and adjacent property, evacuation plans, resettlement plans, hazardous material handling and disposal, bonding, licensing, insuring, all of that, to me, being absent, and we can't seem to put our hands on it with a FOIA request or otherwise, to me, puts the city of New York in complicity and culpability, and the Port Authority, the lessee and the lessor of the buildings, it puts them all into this mix, too. I wonder, when we're doing grand jury investigations, if perhaps we could bring the city of New York into this.
Well, we should. There appears to be complicity going all around. This is an act of war, and they used it as an act of war to avoid all of these regulations, such as, for instance, NIST's and FEMA's refusal to test for the use of explosives in these buildings. I mean, the FBI had their operating theory was that explosives brought down the building, and yet NIST and FEMA didn't even won't analyze because, in fact, they said they found no evidence for explosives, and yet they acknowledged a couple of years later and frequently asked questions that they never looked for it. So this is pretty incredible, but thousands have looked for it, and indeed have found it in the behavior of the building itself, but also in the debris pile and in all of this dust, we find evidence of explosives. First, in the behavior of the building, the North Tower, for instance, begins suddenly, smoothly, and without hesitation. The top portion above the point of jet plane impacts in the North Tower begins a sudden descent at two-thirds of free-fall acceleration. In other words, it's getting faster and faster straight down through what was the path of greatest resistance. The 47 massive core columns in this building that just had to have been again, given way, 47 of them synchronistically timed floor by floor in order for this building to drop without any kind of a jolt. We would expect in any kind of a gravitational collapse, although we've never had one in a steel frame building, but we'd expect large gradual deformations. If there's any kind of downward impact, it would stop when it hits the cold, intact, hard structural steel frame below.
Okay.
And maybe it would tip over.
I need to hold you right there. We're going to go into a break, folks. Your call's welcome, 866-841-1065. Don't be shy. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
Are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio. TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again, visiting as we are with Richard Gage, AIA, the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. The website, folks, is www.ae911truth.org. Do go in, sign on that petition, if you would, please. Whether you're an architect or an engineer or not, it takes everybody in this struggle for truth. And certainly, we can understand that terrorism is a word that was made politically popular by the Bush administration during this process, when really we have a quite adequate system of law. We don't need to think of this as a terrorist act. But terrorism, understood correctly, is a political system that rules through fear, intimidation, and dread. And just like Hiroshima, Nagasaki, the firebombing of Dresden and Nuremberg, and the explosion of La Lusitania, this is a system of fear, intimidation, and dread that led us into the Iraq War, the Afghanistan War, now perhaps expanding into the east, going to Iran next, Pakistan, where will it stop? No one knows. Round and round we go. But what we find here, Richard, is in some cases willful oblivion, and in other cases voluntary ignorance on the part of a lot of the professionals, in that who would ever think it? Who would ever think that this sort of a thing could be done right under our nose, and then not only the media, but government and everybody else would cover it up so thoroughly that only children could look at the evidence and see that the story didn't match up with what their eyes were telling them. Never believe your lying eyes. But let's pick it up right there. We've got a nice long segment in here, and continue with the story. Fascinating. Uh-oh. Sounds like he may have dropped. Let's see. Let me see. Are we still there? Are we still there? Call again. Let me click that back on. See if we got it. Get back on the line. Go. There we go. Yeah, we did. Sometimes it happens. This is voice over internet protocol radio. This is like an electronic conference call that we do here. It's really handy because we don't need any bricks or mortars, but unfortunately, sometimes it cuts off me and sometimes it cuts off you, but we're back together again. We've got a pretty long segment here, about 8 or 9 minutes. Let's go ahead and pick up right where we left off and continue to expand this idea of the evidence that you found. And I definitely want to look at this this new rule set, this legal precedent that's been set, because as we go forward, when you design a large building in a densely populated area, an urban center, whether you're designing it for sustainability or not, we need to think about the removal of these buildings, and I think that needs to be part of the discussion.
Okay. Well, let's start with the evidence then, because we were just describing how this the top portion of the North Tower and the South Tower began suddenly, smoothly, and symmetrically accelerating through the path of what was the greatest resistance. That can't happen. The physics of it are such that those columns had to have been removed in a split-second timing engineered pattern or sequence. So what we see then is this incredible display of upward, outward arching streamers in a geometry of symmetry like fireworks. It looks much more like an explosion when you look at it with a second time with this in mind than any kind of a gravitational collapse. Gravity works downward, not upward and outward. It becomes very obvious and embarrassing to those of us who are architects and engineers who were looking at this on 9/11, just not knowing what the heck to think because, you know, let's face it, we were under attack on 9/11. We didn't know when the next plane would be hit. Thousands of people were dying, jumping out of buildings. We were in horror. So the psychology of that morning is such that most of us were placed in a state of cognitive dissonance. We were suspending our rational belief, looking for explanations to what was going on in our world. And this is this was apparently done on purpose so that we would not question what was told to us next, which was, in fact, that these buildings collapsed due to structural weakening due to fires and jet plane impacts, and that these hijackers were responsible within 48 hours. Of course, they had the names for all of them.
Well, but certainly anyway, some of this would come in, you know, the Edward Bernays School of Public Relations and the media being complicit in this as well in the process, because we were actually being led, if you will, to accept the idea of an attack and use that as a way of, just like you said, developing this state of voluntary ignorance or willful oblivion where our eyes are never wrong. Our eyes are telling us just what we're seeing, but because of the way that the story is presented, we believe, you know, that this is another Pearl Harbor-like event. And on the morning of 9/11, I was on air calling it a Lusitania. But, you know, if you want to call it a Pearl Harbor-like event just to cover the presence of airplanes and aircraft, that's fine. But really, I think that we were dialogued into a consensus that there was actually an attack in progress. I know that's the way my mother took it. She was the one that alerted me to it, called me early in the morning. But this is just the way that it was presented on the media. So, of course, then backed up in the rotogravures and on the coffee table books, just like the Kennedy assassination. All of this information was laid down to close the door and answer all the questions, but we still have lots of questions remaining. Go ahead.
Yes, and the architects and engineers want to know, for instance, why we have the evidence of these thermite incendiaries found in all of the dust samples throughout lower Manhattan. Again, 4 to 12 inch thick blanket of this pulverized concrete, pulverized to a fine powder. That takes an incredible explosive force to accomplish in and of itself. But in this powder, the USGS and R.J. Lee, an environmental firm, finds billions of very small iron spheres. And in every dust sampling, it's about the diameter of a human hair. Well, how would they get there? If you did have thermite incendiaries placed throughout the columns and beams in the building, in patented cutter charges, by the way, which in 1984 were patented to have the cutter charge casing itself turn into molten iron because it itself is made out of consolidated thermite, so there wouldn't be any evidence of these casing charges left over. But anyway, if you had thousands of those going off under explosive conditions, the byproduct of thermite being molten iron would disperse itself like water out of a spray bottle. And those particles are round, spherical, and they cool and form in these spheres. And that's the only plausible reason that government officials find billions of these in all of the dust samples. They also have the evidence in them of manganese aluminum in addition to being molten iron. This is a signature of thermite. There's no other rational explanation for these. So Dr. Stephen Jones, who analyzes this, along with another team of international scientists, finds, looking for the original unignited thermite, he goes back to the dust and finds these small chips about a 16th of an inch long in every dust sampling also. And they're red on one side and gray on the other. The red side is composed of extremely small particles of iron oxide powder and aluminum powder the size of a thousand times smaller than the human hair. These are nanoscale particles of aluminum and iron oxide. They're perfectly uniform, and they're perfectly proportioned to 25% to 75% to make up thermite. There's no possible way that these could have been created somehow by mixing of iron from the steel and aluminum from the panels. This substance is a military-grade super thermite, which is only made in the most sophisticated Defense Department contracting laboratories. What is it doing in all of the World Trade Center dust?
Absolutely, and it is critical to the understanding. Certainly, there are natural laws that we're asked to set aside in all of this. Some of the things that we study even as early as high school, and certainly we've covered a little bit of that in the preceding hour, right out of the Encyclopedia Americana, 1942. So there are certain things that we can accept, and then certain things that we need to throw. One of the things that Richard, that I've tried to bring out as a voice in this matrix, is the idea of, instead of trying to prove the crime, so to speak, to put the burden of the proof on a court of law, as opposed to a panel of experts say. We've been conditioned to accept the testimony of experts, 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 and sometimes what we really need to do is look at the law. What are the facts? And that's what you're presenting. What's the evidence? Here we've got evidence. But what is the law? And as I mentioned previously, this legal precedent, this new rule set that was established here, if this could be pursued from the standpoint of, this is a demolition, all the experts say so. all of our experts say, using their tools on them. And then we move forward into this process that if this was a demolition, it can be proved that it was, then why wasn't a demolition permit issued? So we'll be back on the other side of this break, folks. Much more to come. Another segment with Richard Gage, AIA.
Heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Don't miss 33rd Parallel News Radio with your host, Matt Kazee. Saturdays at 8 p.m. Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so we return once again in our last segment of today's two-hour broadcast, visiting as we are with Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. The website, folks, is www.ae911truth.org. I want to log on and bookmark that site today. Visit the site, look at the information, the materials. Perhaps if there are anybody that you know that's still skeptical, you could share this link with them as well. Now, as we're going into the break, Richard, I mentioned just this just basic concept that I've been holding in my mind, and I don't know whether it's valid or not, but rather than trying to prove, you know, the who, the what, the when, the where, the why, or the how, if we can establish as a fact that this was a demolition, then I think we can start to unwind this insofar as I've mentioned, there's a certain protocol that needs to be done, that needs to be followed. Because if this can be just set aside, if this can be preemptively set aside, if you can set aside all of the precautionary principles and best practices of demolition, if you can just set it aside, then what would stop someone from just demolishing a five-story brownstone with the tenants in it at 2 o'clock in the morning in New York City going forward? I think that a demolition plan, and now we've got in Dubai one of the world's largest building, another one going up in China. We've got a new world tower there, the Freedom Tower, I guess they're going to call it, going up in the same place. Going forward, certainly there must be some idea as to how, because nothing lasts forever, but how will we demolish these buildings in the future? What is the action plan going forward? Have you heard anything along that line?
No. I am not sure how to respond to that, William. We're focused on getting the information out to as many people as possible, architects, engineers, and others, and getting a real investigation, an unimpeachable investigation with subpoena power, and getting as many architects and engineers aware of this information as we possibly can. And it looks like it's starting to spread like wildfire. I mean, even the 9/11 truth movement is growing by millions every year. We must have a massive popular response to this information, because after all, it's evidence that this is obviously some sort of an inside operation. Let's just acknowledge that, first of all, because Al-Qaeda could not have had access to these very highly secure buildings to plant these explosives, and they probably didn't have access to these extremely sophisticated explosives. This is a very, very high-tech operation. And so we're looking at a dark chapter. I mean, we don't know how high or how wide this conspiracy, if you will, it goes, but we know that it is high and wide enough to be of grave concern to every American citizen, and that we have to expose it. And it's probably just the tip of the iceberg in terms of problems in our government, in industry. The American people have lost control of their country. That's how bad this is. And we're probably continuing to lose control. We probably must, it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. We're promised another 9/11, for instance, by members of the media, the Bush administration, particularly in the last years of their administration, and even currently with the Obama administration. We're promised another 9/11, probably far worse than the last, we're told.
Well, you know, you most likely are familiar with Agenda 21, the Program of Action for Sustainable Development out of Rio de Janeiro, 1992, where in Chapter 7.59, I refer to it quite frequently here on this broadcast, Richard, it states the promotion of a culture of safety. I like to call it the culture of, well, it's a safety cult. But the idea of the promotion of the culture of safety, FEMA on the site, the FEMA all mitigation hazard planning program, multi-jurisdictional all hazard mitigation planning program, the events that we saw in Louisiana, the Ninth Ward in Katrina, after Katrina, that as we move again forward, what we find that is that from 2001 forward, this was kind of like an opening door to the implementation of the hazard mitigation plan from FEMA. A corollary with that, and James Lee Witt was the first CEO, former with the director of FEMA, with the International Code Council's body of model codes and acts, we're changing the whole dynamic of design and construction, our relationship with property, the catastrophic loss insurance, cat bonds, and things like that. We've changed so much that without some kind of a catalyzing event like this, we would never have seen the progress they've made towards the implementation of Agenda 21 in just these past years. So I think you're spot on. I really do believe that we need to press forward. I like the idea of going to the grand jury and getting a bulletproof resolution of the evidence that has been suppressed from the people, taking it back to the court of public opinion, if you will, sans the public media spin and the spin doctors. All of these things are really bright, and certainly the work that you've been doing, bringing together what could be perhaps one of the hardest audiences, as I mentioned, to the audience in the first hour, towards the end of that hour is that each of these men and women that are signed on, they have something that they could lose in this. Many of us have commercial and government clients and clientele. Mr. Rees with the new London embassy, people that have worked and established relationships with government for a long time, they may be reluctant to just speak truth to power, if you will, because they're concerned about A, losing their license, or B, losing their clients. And so this all must figure into this, and I just commend you for the work that you've done and the courage of those that have signed on to the petition. We've got about 3 minutes left. Why don't you go ahead and wrap up the story for us?
Well, we have to... We have to do whatever is necessary to get this word out. Most people in the 9/11 truth movement, growing by millions every year, agree, and many, that this is the Achilles heel of that system that you were describing. This is the exposed vulnerability. If 9/11 can come down, the whole house of cards will follow. This is the opportunity that we have. So we're asking every one of your listeners to take the AE911truth.org link and send it to every architect and engineer that you know or that you can find across the country and everybody else that you know. Just say, check this out. This is amazing. Why would 1,000 architects and engineers want a new investigation? Look, they're talking about explosives. Oh, that means some sort of an inside operation. This is serious. Let's get this word out. So that's what we're asking of your listeners today. And to also get the DVD online at AE911truth.org and listen to it. Get informed and spread it around. Get it to everybody that you can. And also support us. We're a nonprofit organization operating only by the generous funding from those who are awake enough to realize that this is an extremely serious issue, the most serious issue that we face at this time, because it can turn over the whole system of corruption. So we have that opportunity. I'm encouraging everybody to join me in taking the opportunity. Become a patriot. This is a call for patriots right now.
And the next step is going to be in Philadelphia. Maybe you would talk just a little bit about that.
Yes, this is a very important conference called Treason in America. And there, as we've alluded to already, 9/11 is just one example of these treasons. And we'll be presenting our theme, 9/11 Blueprint for Truth, the Architecture of Destruction, at that conference that we presented all over the world in 140 different presentations now. And so this is an opportunity for everybody to learn not just about 9/11, but the other problems that are systemic and the corruption, how far it's gone and how many different tentacles it has.
And that's listed on the website there as well, folks. You can find out about the Philadelphia, the next stop on this tour, if you will. And just in the last closing moments, you've also been off to Japan. How did that conference work out?
Oh, wonderful. We had seven different stops in Japan in December, and we had an opportunity to speak with eight different parliamentary members, each of whom expressed their support for us. And one of them, the senior member, said, "We're proud to join you." It was really quite wonderful. We hope we'll get a new investigation in Japan.
Well, that's all that we have time for today. Thank you so very much, Richard. Listeners, thanks for calling. We'll be back again. Stay with us and stay tuned.
You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.